Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the channel. Got something very special for you. So this is a premiere episode. We're calling it episode zero of a brand new podcast concept that we'd like to get off the ground. We being Albert Agar from the Pinball Nerds podcast and my new buddy Ryan Berry from the Phantom Tail podcast, we got together to form a three-man demolition team of sorts. So here's an episode we recorded as a test, putting it out there, value all the feedback. So let's get ready. We're still working on a name. Options are Vuck Boys, International Pinball Podcast, Men of Mystery, Men of Pinstery, Pincest. I don't know. It's all over the place. But for now, I'm calling it the Silver Ball Syndicate, and let's get to it. Introducing from literally around the world, from Canada, representing Australia and the United States, it's the Silver Ball Syndicate International Pinball Podcast. What's up? I'm Don. I'm going to coordinate this here to start off with, but let's introduce the other pinball degenerates that we have here. What's up? We got Ryan Berry representing Australia. We got Orbital Albert representing Canada. Guys, we've done it. What's going on?
Yeah, we're all together. So hopefully there's not too much of a delay via satellite from Western Australia over here in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, I think we got a good buffer going on. Al, how you doing?
Oh man, so excited to be here. This is great. There's not enough pinball podcasts with just three people, so we need another.
This is correct. Definitely something to at least stand out and be somebody's third favorite pinball podcast, right? Is that a good stretch goal?
Well, it's definitely better than being your fifth favorite pinball podcast, I'll tell you that. It's two better. And let's be honest, there's what? I can't even count on one hand how many three-person pinball podcasts there are. So we're automatically in the top five. Let's just shoot for top three. We got this.
I mean, absolutely. I think, you know, that it's very much on trend right now. I'm Don Garrison. I do Don's Pinball Podcast. I started in 2023. Brand new to the scene, we got Ryan Berry with the Phantom Tilt Podcast. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Thanks you for curbing your enthusiasm there. And Orbital Albert from the Pinball Nerds Podcast, straight to our elder statesman, as it were, representing the frosty north of Canada, where we're currently choking on wildfire smoke from all the burning maple and moose carcasses. So thank you for that, sir.
Hey, that's not all we're smoking up here. I can smell David Dennis's smoked meats coming from Fredericton, so.
Smoked moose knuckles. Yeah. How's Western Australia this time of year?
It's cooling down. It's cooling down. We're moving into winter as you guys move out. And you've left it a bit of a mess, I'm going to say. The winter is it's coming in very, very freaking slowly, especially up here. It sticks to about 40 degrees, so over 100 degrees for most of the year up here. And we're in a tropical climate as well, so it's either wet season or dry season. So
that's good.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah,
that's giving me like panic or anxiety because it's just about to warm up here in Wisconsin. We're finally getting some above 70 degree days, which is like 25 centigrade, and then like you're heading into winter, so it's like giving me flashbacks and palpitations. But it is the season of pinball, particularly of new releases. We got a second Stern Cornerstone like just last week, dude. Guys, what do you think?
I'm excited as hell, and I was excited from the reveal. I don't know. I messaged a few people straight up saying this game looks freaking awesome, and I didn't really have my excitement replicated or what's the word? I guess received
reciprocated.
In kind. Reciprocated. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Reached around.
Yeah.
Or the enthusiasm didn't reach around far enough
but
back
it seems
to
like
it.
It seems like it's coming together now that people are seeing more gameplay.
That's the word I would have used. Yeah, absolutely. Albert, what do you think?
Oh, it's way too early in the podcast to talk about reach arounds, guys. Come on. John Wick was the podcast that nobody was, you know, had any built-in nostalgia for. And yet I think even though the launch was not smooth as silk, I think so far, every time we see more gameplay, people get a little more hyped. Obviously, everybody likes the LE artwork. Pretty much straight across the board. Everyone said that. And you know what? For a brand new designer, sure, it's a bit of a safe design. But when you have a brand new designer, don't you want a safe design to start? So I'm excited to play it. There's no way at 13 grand I'm in on buying it, but the artwork's incredible. The shots look fun. There's some okay mechs, but I think for 9 out of 10 people, you could get away with the pro on this one. And hey, y'all just saved a couple $1,000 if you want it new in box.
I think you're already speaking some truth bullets, and I'll get to the gameplay in a bit. But I'm going to counter you and say that I think this was one of Stern's smoothest launches of recent memory. And I can't wait to tell you why. So, you know, this is a game that it was rumored. We got the teaser. And then right on cue, they came out and released everything that first day. You know, at first we were thinking they were going to, you know, string it along like a Jaws Shark Week and then everything gets leaked early. But this time they're like, you know what? For the internet's sake, we're just going to put everything out there and then we'll do our promotional releases as time goes on. Controversies aside, this was a lot better of a release than if you think back to James Bond. I mean, James Bond, they were having trouble with the licensor, getting things approved, to the point that they put the machines out at an expo, and then the queen was so shocked she dropped over dead from the whole thing. Like, I mean, how, you can't go more off the rails than that. I'm assuming that's the responsible for the sequences. You know, Foo Fighters, it came out as more traditional release. Jaws was released, and then we had everything leaked on potato cameras, a little bit fumbled. When we got the gameplay, we got 12 minutes of expert play by Elwin, but, like, we wanted more. Here they had a two-hour live stream, and I swear, when Jack Danger had his second ball in that four-player game and blew it up with multiple multi-balls, I think that moved units.
For sure, for sure. And showing off the lead lining on the back glass there on the live stream was really cool as well. I'm a big fan of that. As you said, that LE artwork is crazy good, and I think it's first time in a while where an LE has stood above and beyond the premium and pro art packages.
I mean, yeah, I liked what they did with Jaws. I love that they brought the expression lights to the back box. This one has them both. I think every game should just have these lights going forward. We got a shooter rod with the LE with Jaws that's not available on this one, but just about everything else, you know, is there. And you got the cabinet lights. And I think it's the best art package of all three.
For sure.
Yeah, the LE art package is great. The premium I didn't like that much in the pictures, but once I saw that live stream, just like you were saying, Don, honestly, I think every single second that Jack Danger was playing, we probably sold one extra John Wick, because, you know, we were seeing how it's a bit of a flow monster. Once you can nail those shots, obviously there's some tight shots there, but it's a bit of a flow monster. You know, the code is really well done for how far along it is. And I think everybody in the chat was going from kind of being meh, thinking, okay, this is kind of a mid-release for them, to now thinking, wow, it shoots good. The artwork's decent. The blues and greens from the neon, you know, neon noir look they're going for just really popped on that live stream. Mind you, Jack Danger is obviously a hell of a live streamer, so if anyone can make those lights look good, it's him. But I hear what you're saying, Don, with you saying it was a smooth release. The only pushback I would have is if you had said, like, it was a smooth release except for the whole gong show, gun show, which way to the beach, that kind of thing. Because that was the little nurple in the purple that made it not so smooth, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know. When the trailer released, I was watching it on a TV and doing a live stream at the same time. And then I got to realize in real time, hey, you know what? You know, John Wick's holding a katana, he's holding nunchucks, but, like, he's not holding his gun. And I was like, that's a little strange. Now, you know, there's plenty of guns in the video art, I suppose. I haven't seen a ton of that yet. You know, but that seemed to be, like, the outrage provoking, or it provoked a bunch of provocateurs within the industry or whatever. And I won't go into the politics behind it. I think that's a lot of what was driving it. But I will say that I don't think that's the controversy that we should be concerned with. I think, and 0 to 10, I think no guns on the artwork, I think it comes in about a 3. The 8 out of 10 for me is the fact that there's no spoken dialogue from John Wick himself that I've found yet in this game.
There's no dialogue, like, by John Wick himself in the movies, mate.
It's because he packs so much punch into just a few lines. And, like, if we could just had, like, a ball drains, but the ball save is on, and then you get a, yeah, I guess I'm back, and then your ball, like, rockets back in. Like, that was a gimme, man. That was a gimme. Instead, we got, like, that British dude.
I think it's coming, dude. Don. I thought Tim Sexton said near the end of the live stream that there would be a couple times things, either the extra ball or ball save, like it was something to do with a ball in pinball, surprise, surprise. I thought he did say there's one or two animations that would happen on the screen that you'd hear the call out at the same time with, you know, Keanu Reeves' voice. But
oh, okay.
I could be wrong. Maybe they're still coming in the code. But yeah, I didn't hear any in the live stream so far.
I will say that Ian McShane, the guy who's doing the call outs,
yeah,
is unreal. Mm-hmm. He's so fucking cool. Sorry, guys, you can bleep that if you want. I was a fan of him from back when I was watching the old, not that old, but the Western Deadwood. I don't know if you guys ever saw that one, but he was very cool in that one as well. And I think that he's definitely one of the cooler characters. If you're going to have someone and you can't have Keanu doing the callouts, getting old Winston there to do them is the next best thing for sure.
Okay, now to be fair, I've only seen the first John Wick film, haven't seen any Deadwood, didn't know this guy at all really, but people have been gushing over him, so it's definitely a get, you know, the fact that there is, you know, that much dialogue and everything in there. But like, yeah, I just wanted a couple of those John Wick lines, and if they can get that in there, then I think I will be satiated.
For sure. You got to get onto those other, at least 2 and 3, John Wick 2 and 3. Those ones are pretty cool. And I'm watching
all of them.
I'm calling it the Indian John Wick. There's a movie out now called Monkey Man with Dev Patel. It's his first directorial debut. It's his directorial debut, and he's got Jordan Peele on as a producer, and that movie is the Indian John Wick. So if you can't find John Wick anywhere, go and check out Monkey Man, because that was really, really fun movie.
So it's like he's doing all the stuff John Wick does, but like in flip-flops?
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Dude Bros would be working on like high-rise buildings wearing flip-flops, man. It's savage. Hell love yeah.
I don't watch a lot of action films. I used to love like the Jackie Chan films back in the 90s, and of course everybody liked, you know, Arnold and Rambo and all that kind of stuff in the 80s and 90s, but
I think Arnold was great in Rambo, you're right.
That was Sylvester Stallone. Come on, guys. Why don't you roll another one, Don? No,
I like
what
your
I'm saying
better.
Is Commando. All of that stuff was cool as I got older. I mean, probably The Matrix was the last time I saw a movie and went, wow, I liked those fight scenes. I know last year there was Everything Is Everywhere. That was incredible with the awesome dude from The Goonies. But, like, honestly, I'm not going to go back and probably watch John Wick 5, 6, or 7. I'll try to watch 2 or 3 just for you, Ryan Berry, just for
okay,
you.
Okay.
I got through one, and I loved the fight sequences. The story was like, what is happening? I don't even know. Is there even a story?
At least if you
no
get
guns,
through two, you'll
fists
get
now.
At least if you get through number two, you'll understand about the blood marker that's on the on the playfield.
I like the blood oath better, the little tacky thing that opens.
Yeah,
like a little like a Muppet baby sideways. Cool. I don't know. I'm not
Mama's
into that.
Little
if it doesn't,
pill
if
container.
It doesn't mess with the ball, don't give it to me. That's what I'm
it's
saying.
It's like a teenager's compact.
Yeah.
Let me just fix. Oh, I got to fix John Wick's eyeshadow now. Apparently, let me consult this. Did Mary Kay make that blood emblem? I haven't seen the second movie. I will say, if it wasn't for this pinball machine, I wouldn't have seen the first John Wick. So I just watched that a couple weeks ago, just in anticipation, trying to get hype for it. Because like I wanted to get super into this. You know, who doesn't love Keanu?
Yeah.
Solid dude. You know, I wanted a game that was like, you know, like a film noir, like a dark Gotham at night, cityscape, you know, rain-soaked streets, you know, reflective fast cars and things. And I think that's kind of, they were thinking along the same lines. Because fortunately, I can transition to this, I've stood in front of the thing and I got to play it this week. So that's the part of the launch that I really liked. You know, they had the teaser. The next week was reveal week. We got everything. And then at the end of reveal week, the game's on location. People are playing it. People are live streaming it. And so that's a win for me. Controversy aside, you know, or notwithstanding.
It came out quick. It was on locations real quick, and you know what? If we can't have the
we got a caller. Caller, you're on. Oh, okay, they hung up.
If we can't have the lake house pinball machine, then I guess we'll settle for John Wick.
Is that the one where like he's dead and he's writing letters to some lady in the future?
I think so. Honestly, I haven't seen it, but I just know that's a Keanu movie.
No, come on. If we have Keanu, we need Point Break or Speed. Speed. A pinball machine where if the ball slows down, your flippers die. No, I don't.
If you trap up, the flippers die. Yeah.
Yeah. It would be good. It would be good. I don't think that. I think that everybody who has, you know, the one thing you can say, the one thing you can say about Stern is they're quick. You know, they release a pin. It's real. It's already on the line. They've already got all the parts. They're not borrowing, you know, money from Peter to pay Paul, so as it would be for some smaller companies. And you can play the pin within a couple of days. I'm very curious, though, Don. What did you think? I caught most of the live stream. The first game, I'm not going to lie, Don, that first game was gone pretty quick. Those balls were going down pretty quick that you found the shots. But the second and third game, you got your hands on it a bit more. Is it as tight of a shooter as it looks like, Don?
So this is fun. So Monday, I got the absolute pleasure to be able to actually play this game for the first time on a live stream. I didn't show up and play a couple games to warm up first. Like, I set up the cameras, hit record, and then played my first game terribly. But it's out there on YouTube for posterity. Yeah, this game had been picked up at 2 p.m., unboxed, and I was there like 4 or 5 hours later. So it was like fresh. And, you know, I have a lot of new unboxed games, and they tend to shoot, you know, pretty fast. But this one in particular, it felt like glass. I don't typically, you know, see 180 ramps as, you know, the biggest innovation in pinball. But the 180 ramp on this game on that right side is so smooth, is so without rattle, is so, you know, easy-ish to hit. It's not a gimme, but it's definitely not like the center ramp on Jaws. Like, it didn't reject, you know, any shot that went into there was halfway decent. And it was smooth, swung right around, then right down the wire form. So I'm in love with that ramp. The left ramp looks like the same one from Foo Fighters, only I seem to be able to hit this one a little easier. It was backhandable. That was fine. The orbit both ways, and it's not like a full, like, you know, side-to-side orbit. It's all the way on the left side for the left entrance of it, but then it exits kind of like in the right third of the game. But it's fast both ways. It comes to the flipper each time, you know, so it wasn't like coming straight down the middle, even if it didn't make it all the way around there. The only shot that's really tight would be the center ramp. And even then, it was still more forgiving than the Jaws center ramp to get to the upper play field, to get to the wave ramp. So it's not a Alice Cooper as far as like tons of shots, but they're just like 3 millimeters too tight, you know, where they're rejecting. It felt like the shots were definitely findable. And some of them, it's a mix of forgiving shots and some that are about moderate, but nothing was really difficult.
Nice one. Looks like fun. That far left, I think also, I think it's where you shoot for the extra ball on the very far left.
There's a scoop,
far left. That looks pretty tight as well. Yeah.
Yeah, so I was able to trap up and hit that off the edge of the flipper more times than not.
Oh, nice.
So, so it wasn't like there's a hurry-up shot on Elton John in the same location, and that one seems to be a little tighter. This one, I didn't have a problem with it.
Good stuff.
You know, it's fine. It's findable. It feels fair. You know, it's not like it's not going to be frustrating. The scoop on Godzilla, I have problems with even now.
Yeah.
You know, starting a mode, ending a mode, like that shot, I can, you know, get it about 20% of the time. It seems like when I'm really trying hard.
Pretty similar to Guardians. I kind of struggle with that one. I don't know if you guys have the same issue, but
the orb shot,
that scoop on the right there to start the mode.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that one is, even after me owning that for 3 or 4 months, that scoop shot on the far right is very, very challenging to backhand. If you can roll the ball up about 75% of the flipper, you can do it. It's findable. But if not, the forehand shot is very dangerous because you can easily go left out lane if not. The good news about owning John Wick or Guardians of the Galaxy is that tighter shots will make you a better player. Unless they're Alice Cooper, they're Alice Cooper tight, then you just don't ever want to play again. You play it once and go, no thanks, that's good enough for me, right?
I'm learning that the hard way. I think I've got to order some new post rubbers for my Turtles because those things are getting worn out pretty well.
The Ninja Turtles. The
Turtles is Ninja Turtles is a brutal, low-scoring game with a cool theme. And, you know, yeah, we just played a premium on location again, and, like, it was all we could do to try to get to the lair, you know? Like, when we got it, like, that was success for us for a game if we got in there.
I was doing the same thing as Orby just said with the scoop. You do as if you're going to post pass it, and then you backhand it off the off that left flipper. That's what I've been doing anyway. That seems to be a little bit safer.
So I'd say now that I'm a, I don't know what I call it, like a moderate pinball player, I know how to, you know, find shots on the flippers now, you know, and kind of, balance for inertia or allow for inertia and everything. If I was still 2 years ago, like not as, you know, partially seasoned as I am now, I think I'd have a harder time with wick. So I don't know if, like, if you're just a casual player and you want to walk up to it, you'll probably have a game like my first one was, where I got sub 10 million points and like my dollar was gone, you know?
Yeah.
But now that, you know, as I was playing, as the stream went on, I only streamed for an hour. You know, I got like a nice 60 million point game, knowing none of the rules. But I was able to hit the center ramp a couple times in a row a few times. The car surprised me at how fun it was, even on the pro. You know, looking at the release for this game, you look at what separates the premium from the pro model, and it didn't look like there was as much in there, you know, compared to like how James Bond 007 was, where you get, you know, a spiral ramp that locks balls, it doesn't really do anything spectacular, a Bond on a wand, which is even less spectacular, and then the least spectacular thing, you know, an action figure under the playfield that you can't even really see. So it was like, well, okay, so what's the point on upgrading here? But I have to say, I'm excited to see what the full motion of the car is after just playing on the pro, because it does have some movement in it. It functions like that Kafoom ramp on or Kafoom shot on Foo Fighters, you know, where it's got spring loaded and pops back on you, like, yeah, it's a coil operated. Like a kicker. As you bash the car, like, it'll punch your ball in the face. It's like he's like a little demon car sitting there, like, guarding his cheese, and you get too close, and he's like, "No, get out of here!" And like, it was strangely satisfying, is what I'm trying to say.
Nice one.
Even on the pro. So having it like come out of its hole and, you know, block a shot, work as a diverter, you can bash the sides, bash the fronts, I'm a little more exuberant for it. I'll tell people, you know, watching the videos and everything, I was one level of enthusiasm for this game, which was kind of around how I felt about Venom. But then after playing it, like, it played much better and I had a much better time than I was anticipating. You know, Foo Fighters, I knew I was going to like it, so that wasn't a big surprise. But I was surprised with Wick about how fun the shots were, how fair they felt, how fast they were, and how much fun the car was.
I mean, if you had, I'm just curious, if you had to compare this, because to me, after I've played more Foo Fighters, every time I play it, I'm finding the shots better, I'm finding how unique and interesting the shots are on it. I mean, would you say you think Foo Fighters or John Wick, like, if you could only afford one of the two, you know, which one do you think you'd buy in retrospect?
Okay, I'm going to answer this with a non-direct answer, if that's helpful. The layout of Foo Fighters is much more interesting with those cross playfield shots. Mm-hmm. Like for sure, like, by wide margin. It's just, there's fun little things hidden. There's more things to discover at ball path-wise. I think code-wise, John Wick is going to be more compelling. This is kind of like if Stern did Godfather, you know, because it's an organized crime, adult, yep, kind of theme. You know, it's not wacky. It's not fantasy-based. You know, I mean, it's fancy gunplay that's not realistic. But other than that, it's like, you know, more like gritty narrative-driven. You know, these are the enemies. You need to battle them. Here's interesting ways you can do that. And I think it's going to come with the code. Foo Fighters still, to me, for all of how great the shots feel and how much I love that dead post, it's very much like visit all the cities, do the couple of multi-balls, and then try to get to a wizard mode. And that's kind of like all you have, you know. You're okay, now you're in Chicago, so it's now, you know, find this blinking shot. Now you're in New Orleans, hit the same blinking shot twice. You know, okay, did you fill your meter yet? Okay, go ahead and kill the alien. Okay, let's go to the next city. Which is fun, but, you know, a bit more straightforward. Like, there's no kind of nuance, you know, there's not like a surprise boss battle that you jump into, you know, like, even with Venom, there's, you know, different enemies you're battling, different characters you can play as. Foo Fighters code and gameplay wise seems more straightforward.
I mean, for a music pin, that's pretty impressive still.
I'm not saying it's a bad game.
Yeah. I'm just thinking about it and hearing you talk about it. And to think that that's a music pin, a band pin, that's pretty cool. I like it. Yeah.
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 And I mean, you know, I'm speaking from having owned it and put, you know, 850 gameplays on it. So like I played the heck out of it, you know, I did enjoy it. But like, you know, okay, you got $6,900 you want new in box. Which one are you going for? That's just, the key points, I think, to each game are different. You know, I think it's going to be code and gameplay for John Wick, And I think it's shots and layouts for Foo Fighters.
Okay. I mean, that's a really good answer. I know Tim Sexton somewhere being the lead developer and rules and code. He's pretty happy to hear you saying that already, because they're already early code, right? Like, this is pretty early code in John Wick. So mm-hmm. if the code is already seeming perhaps as complex, if not more, than Foo Fighters, then that's a really good thing to be hearing, right? So,
well, complex, I'm thinking, you know, potential. It still feels very early code right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I don't understand the game rules yet. I've only played it for an hour. But I can see where there's potential there for some interesting things. Particularly on the premium LE, where that car can act as a diverter, you can trap balls up there. It's got one of those Denisi lock pop bumpers where you can put the ball back in the nightclub and have the drop target pop up, and then now you have a captive ball you can bash around that can then get released later. So, and on the premium LE, there's a way you can even store balls up in that nightclub, like you're filling up the hot tub, even, you know. Yeah. So I'm excited to see like what comes from there. And I will say, having a sling up there with that pop bumper in the nightclub is a great space-saving design to add a lot of chaos back there.
Hmm. Yeah, it keeps it from just being like one or two pops and then drains down, or dribbles down out the exit there.
Right, right.
Well, I'm already
dreaming up like a hot tub mod to put back there. Just turn the whole thing into a hot tub.
Well, I was going to say, I don't want to be the bad guy, even though, you know, I guess I should know my role, right? But I thought that whole area up there was completely just a waste of space. You might as well have just left it empty and saved us a couple $100. However, after watching the live stream and seeing how the balls feed into there, sometimes a ball can get stuck in there for 15, 20 seconds, but then other balls just, like, they hit the pop bumper and they just shoot straight down at you really fast. So, you know, dropping four or five balls in there does create, every single time you do a multi-ball start, it's a unique multi-ball start. Three balls could come out in 5 seconds, and then, you know, the next ball might not come out for another 10 or 15. So it is at least interesting that way. However, I still would have rathered either an upper play field, a lower play field, a third flipper to get more side-to-side action, that sort of thing. I'm a big sucker for three flipper pins. I think once you've gone three flipper, it's hard to go back. Like, I think if you look at the top designers out there, their top designs are always going to be the ones with the most flippers, at least three, if not four. Not always. I mean, more flippers isn't always better. You know, Humpty Dumpty, the first electromechanical flipper machine, had like 20, and that might have been too many, right? But I don't know. I'm really excited to play John Wick, and we already went over it. I don't care, but the gun issue to me is not a big deal. I didn't notice it. I watched the whole thing several times. Now, I'm not a huge John Wick fan. Now, when I went to go watch the movie after that, I went, well, oh my God, there's 100 guns in the first 20 minutes of this. I went, well, obviously, you know, reflective. What do you guys think? I said this on my show. I said this on the Good Old Pinball Nerds podcast over there on the Poor Men's Pinball Network. I'm curious to know what you guys think. What if they just did either, like, you know, typically the pros are put on location. So let's say we left the pro as it was. But if either the LE or the premium had guns, then they could say to everyone who wanted lots of guns in the artwork, you could go, well, I guess you got to buy the premium, or I guess you got to buy the LE. Like, would that not have maybe been a better solution than what they did?
I just don't think they had the option, you know? Like, I mean, the place that we play at, all they buy is LEs. They throw them out on location there. So I guess they just had to account for places like that as well. I know it's not the typical thing, but yeah, I don't think they even got the chance to, you know, say that sort of, let's see what happens.
They're already in such a no-win situation with it. Can you imagine the vitriol that would have come their way if they said, oh, if you want the guns, you have to pay for the extra $3,000 version?
That would have been like cash grab,
extortion, look at you, you're holding our gun rights and our freedom for ransom. Oh, man. There'd still be YouTube videos going up right now arguing back and forth about it.
Now, we don't want to tell all the listeners, of course, but I obviously have a crossbow with me right now. I've got my bazooka on my left shoulder, and I'm ready to tell y'all. No, it's been a long week. It's been a crazy week where I've never seen a pinball launch like this. I know you're saying it's smooth. It was smooth in most ways, but it was very strange. You know, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, if we were to take bets on if one of the top pinball content creators would be doing a live stream or a video with a gun, we'd all be like, well, probably not. But anyways, I still really, really, really want to play it, and I am excited for the fact that, you know, the big thing we didn't even talk about yet is the AI that Tim's built into this. How, however well you're playing, you know, they're going to make it harder and harder and harder to get to beat that mode or to get into that next multi-ball or to get to the mini wizard mode. And I think that's excellent because sometimes me being a mediocre pinball player as far as like tournament players go, I'll be there and there'll be buddy, you know, I don't want to name names, Joe Stanzik, but one of these guys that's like just incredible at hitting, he could just hit 100 ramps in a row. And I'm really wishing that the game would like nerf his points, yet the game, a lot of games, they just give you more and more points the more combos you get in a row. So for a guy like me who's not very accurate, even though I'm okay at saving the ball, I'm happy to hear that there's some type of built-in mechanism that will A, prevent him from getting more and more points doing the same shot over and over again, but B, more importantly, is, you know, it's making the game dynamic. So I think that that makes this already really good code even more interesting, especially in a home setting, because this can last longer. If you're someone, unlike Don, if you can't have 15 or 16 pins, if you're like Ryan or I and we can only have two or three, you know, you want one of those pins to have a really deep, interesting, dynamic code that, especially if you're playing with someone on a home game, like that's the number one reason why my wife won't really play modern pins with us. And she loves, you know, drop target. Danielle loves drop target, you know, EMs. The reason for that is because she hates waiting 45 minutes between a ball on Roller Coaster Tycoon or an hour on Walking Dead or something. She just hates like just standing there just watching me play pinball. She doesn't mind playing pinball. She hates watching me play for 45 minutes for her to play for five typically. So if there was some type of dynamic scoring that you could do, some kind of handicapping like that, it would not only make for a more fun game, but honestly, it would make it so that more partners at home would play more often, probably.
Listen to the provincial champion talking about how he's mediocre.
Hey, I'm okay out here. If I had lived in Chicagoland, I'd be mid AF.
So, so playing the game consciously a couple of times, I thought, oh, yeah, where's that AI business here? And, you know, I don't know if the code's not there or maybe I didn't play well enough to even be able to see it. But I'm curious to see how that's implemented. You know, I like that they're doing a leveling system again with this game. They did it with Jaws. They started with Venom. I love that. I feel like then the games that I'm playing when I'm logged in like aren't being wasted. Like I'm actually building towards something, you know, which may all be in my head and all be marketing, but it's working, right? And it's working its way toward Pokemon is what my hope is. But yeah, that would be fun to see, you know, challenge kind of dynamically adapted as you get better.
And I did notice a few people sort of just keeping on bringing up this AI thing. I know it's the buzzword at the moment, but I mean, it's not really AI, is it? It's not machine learning. This thing is not. I mean, video games have had this adaptive difficulties for years and years now. I mean, I get that we all want to, you know, say we're doing AI, but I don't think it's really, we can really call it AI.
Fair.
How did you feel about the people that they chose to show off the games?
Yeah, no, as far as like the live stream?
No, the people that they invited to the factories.
Oh, B-Con. I'm not mad about it.
Yeah,
good on them. You know, if I get called and I can come down, like I'm happy to do it, but I'm not going to be like, you know, I'm entitled to be there, sir. I record stuff in my basement. I buy your games. I am a customer, you know, and like, you know, go caring on them.
Just don't know how they could do this to the pinball community. You know?
Yeah.
Turn their backs on us.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's a fair point that the pinball, you know, media people like that strictly do that are going to be covering this, whether they're, you know, invited or not, you know, and get their toes tussled. And maybe even the content will be a little more fair and unbiased because of that. You know, I don't know. It was just funny. Like even me, it's like they revealed everything. And it's like, finally, I get to record on it. I can talk about it. And then I'm like, who the heck are these Arcade 1-Up people? How'd they already get access to it?
Yeah.
I want to have, you know, I want to be the guy that can, you know, play something a week early and like have content like in the can ready to go. And then like, boom, here you go. Look what I got to do. So I think I was jealous for sure. But, you know, not to the point that, you know, I'm swearing them off or anything.
I think I might have taken it a little bit better than everyone else because I'm not expecting any plane tickets.
For sure. Yeah, always appreciated, never expected.
Yeah.
I talk. Yeah, on my show, like I talked about, I'm also in the roller coaster hobby community, and they do media days for brand new rides where they'll open to, you know, the local news, and they'll get like 50 people from a coaster club to come down and power ride it so they can get some B-roll. And, you know, the kind of entitled comments you hear from those folks, like if they didn't get invited this year to the new unveiling, it's like makes you not even want to participate in the hobby at all. So, you know, I don't want to bring that to pinball.
Well, again, I don't want to be the contrarian here, but I definitely think it was a swing and a bit of a miss. Not that they reached out to the people they did. Now, when I first heard it was King of Dongs got the exclusive review, I thought good for Stern reaching out to a, you know, obviously a pornography company, because that's a totally different demographic than we're used to, right? Mm-hmm, but then mm-hmm. I watched it and I went, well, no, this is not pornography, thankfully, you know. But, you know, no, that's that being my
insider
said,
connected
still...
username.
King of Dongs.
I still felt pretty dirty at the end of it because I felt like, and this is nothing against the two gentlemen who did, you know, their best. They did their absolute best. But we have so many incredible content creators, even, you know, Don also, as well as being a podcaster, you also do live streaming. You've been down to Spooky before to help them with launches. So I thought there's so many people who know how to properly videotape, record, get live video and do the audio on a pinball machine. Why would you not reach out to, yes, one or two people who are not known to do pinball media, but why would you not reach out to like you know, whomever, Carrie Hardy or Don or, you know, Tom Graff from Fox Cities. He lives like an hour away from Chicago. Like, he would have loved to. He even said that. He would have loved to have gone down there and just, it would have been good if you had, you know, the non-pinball people as well as the pinball people, because then you don't annoy either your main client base or the new people you're trying to introduce to pinball at the same time. So hashtag you're dead to me, Stern. Next time you invite people out, or be better, get a plane. It's only like $90 to pay for my plane trip to Detroit, guys. I can take a train to freaking Chi-Town from there. Come on. Like $90, you throw Orby on the plane. Don't worry. Once I'm over there, I won't even eat things out of house. So it's all good. I won't even sleep under Gary Stern's desk or anything like that. I promise. Just give me the keys. It'll all be fine. No, I'm just kidding. Maybe this is why they don't invite me.
The one stories that desk can tell you, probably.
The one I thought it was flipping out. You know, those guys or straight down the middle. You know, the showcase they did for Pulp Fiction. You know, having something like that for the new launch would be massive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they charge though, right, Don? I'm assuming at this point, like I would think, like that whenever they go to JJP or CGC, they're charging, like, you know, Zach does a great job, obviously, you know, with straight down the middle doing all those videos. But I do think that they charge like a decent fee to do that. So maybe Stern just thought, oh, we can get some of these dudes for free, right?
Yeah, I mean, they have the equipment of a production company. So, and you know, that editing is time consuming. So I could see that. Yeah, the B Kong video was essentially kind of over the shoulder, you know, a half 45 degree angle cell phone footage, which, you know, is fine for like his demographic, the people that watch him, just to get it out there. But like for me, what I wanted to see, I didn't get from that video. Talking to the guy in comments, it seems like he was invited there. He played two balls of a three ball game and was there for like 15 minutes and like that was it. And I'm like, oh man, that's, you know, not enough time to appreciate the nuance. You know, play five or six games, set a camera up that'll show the play field, and then I would have liked to hear the perspective of somebody who's, you know, been in the hobby as far as like explaining the shots, what's the feel of this game, you know,
asking the questions, you know, that we're all wanting
yeah,
to ask.
Yeah. Not saying like go ahead and invite people that aren't strictly, you know, pinball content 100%, because, you know, pinball's a small hobby. You know, if you have 1,000 followers, that's kind of huge in this little niche, but these people can have like hundreds of thousands, you know? So like, I get that, but you know, maybe get someone on the inside in there too, you know, just so there's some quality content.
And you say about like, charging these people to come in and film and make these showcases. But what do you think's translating into more sales? The video over the shoulder or a professionally produced, you know, showcase of your new game? Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
God,
especially when,
sure,
when it's going to go out to the same people, you know, the same pool of people anyway.
Yeah,
the, good points.
Well, the videos that are that Jersey Jack are getting done, honestly, I think they help themselves significantly more bins. That production company there that does that is just killing it. And then also, even like, well, even for instance, when Don went and did the live streams on, you know, Looney Tunes and Texas Chainsaw Massacre, that was that we were seeing, you know, a whole new group of people were seeing that for the first time. Anyone who doesn't already follow Spooky, right? So
yeah, and Spooky recovered from that. So
had to fumigate the building. Sorry about the toilet, Spooky.
Did you ever get the bill for that?
No, thankfully, but they don't know my real address. No, it was fun. So, sales-wise, I don't know how this game is going to do. You know, we know how Venom did. You know, it sold. It didn't blow people away. I heard it's earning well on location. And is it the case where, well, yeah, it's earning well on location. People didn't buy it. They went out and played it on location, played $10, and then they're done. You know, maybe that's the case. And I know people are probably soured on some of the devaluation that a game goes for now, that depreciation on the secondary market. So a lot of people are holding back, hoping that this John Wick LE will do what Venom LE did and become available for 10, 9. Somebody got one for sub 9,000. So, you know, with a couple of mods even. You know, but maybe if people are scared enough of that, that there's not going to be a ton of LE sales, and then there's not going to be a ton of LE supply later. And then maybe the price will hold a little steadier. I'm excited to watch the market on this thing and how it's going to go.
Yeah, the LEs that you're hoping drop in price don't usually drop in price, you know, for a reason.
Yeah.
Think this one 100% will do better than Venom because it's a player's game. It's a quick shooter. It's like you said, it's buttery. It was like glass straight out of the box. It's one that is for the players. The Venoms, yeah, they'll do well on location. That's a familiar, recognizable character that kids and people that are just walking into the arcade are going to gravitate towards because they recognize the IP. But and not to say that obviously John Wick isn't recognizable, but it's going to draw in the players that are going to travel to actually play that game as well.
Yeah, I don't want to venture a guess whether or not enough LEs will sell for them to hold their value better or not. I would assume that we're getting pretty close to where we were pre-COVID 5 or 6 years ago, where if you buy an LE, it might lose 10 to 20% in the first year. If you keep it 2 or 3 years as they become rarer and there's less on the market, you might start to break even. If you get some nice, tasteful mods and don't go overboard and you're in an area of the country or even in Australia and the Australian Outback where there's not very many pins or where I am here, you know, you might be able to break even on it. And so what if your hobby is just usually you break even on it or lose a little? I've been in this hobby for 10 years now. I've bought and sold 15 pins. The most amount of money I ever lost was $200. And that was on like a $5,000 Roller Coaster Tycoon that I sold to a friend of mine whose kid loved roller coasters and stuff. So I wanted to give them a good deal. And I hadn't spent a penny on maintenance on owning the thing in 2 years. So, you know, if the most money I've ever lost on a pin is $200 and I bought and sold, you know, 15. Now, I haven't bought and sold a lot of new LEs, mm-hmm. partially because I'm broke, and also partially because I can't afford to lose $3,000 or $4,000. Whereas if I buy a pro and I know the max I'm going to lose is 500 to 1,000, even if I keep it like 3 years, I might lose 1,000. Well, that's costing me only a couple hundred a year. I'm getting way more plays in and more fun time with my family and friends than the value I'm losing on it. And I think it's okay for us all to admit we're not in this hobby for investments. If you're in this hobby for investments, go start doing mutual funds or stocks or bonds or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, if you're in this hobby because you actually love pinball and you're hoping, yes, you don't want it to drop $4,000 in a year, for God's sake, right? Like, you're not trillionaires either. But, you know, I think that it's okay to say, you know what, I bought maybe not even a John Wick LE, but say I bought like even 3-4 months from now, if you bought a used John Wick LE or a used Jaws and you got it for $2,000 less, yes, maybe that person lost $2,000, but most likely they got the joy of unboxing it, knowing it for a little bit of time, and they expected they might lose a few $100 to $1,000 by unboxing such an expensive rare toy that's so fun. And if they just held it for a couple years, if you make sure you really love that LE before you buy it and you're going to hold it for a couple years, you'll probably break even or maybe even make a little bit of money. So from investment side, I think if you're I think other than Ryan Berry's one location that has the LEs, I think you go out and you spend $6,999, you probably break even on your John Wick Pro in the first freaking year, and you can sell it for a little bit of profit. So I mean, you know,
I don't know why anyone's buying an LE if they don't really freaking love that theme.
Exactly.
You know, if you're buying an LE, what you're not, you shouldn't be thinking about how much money you're going to lose, how much money you're going to make or retain. You should be thinking, like, this is my dream theme. This is what I've been waiting for. So I'm going to go all out and get the big daddy, the number one sort of variant.
Absolutely. So here's a take. So people have been saying, you know, we need to get back to the scarcity of LEs, you know, when there was only 500 of these things, 400 or 500 released. We still may be there. The limited edition size is 1,000, but that's really up to 1,000. You know, there's nothing to say that Stern may only make 450 LEs, and then, like, that's where their production stays, you know, because definitely if they put out 1,000 of them and, you know, 500 of these games are sitting in boxes of distributors unsold, that's not good for players, that's not good for distributors. Pretty good for Stern, but eventually that's going to burn them. So maybe they only make 500 and they satisfy sales and then they kind of shadow cut it off, and then the supply is limited truly out there.
So this is something that you guys might be able to answer, because obviously me being a newbie, I'm not aware of all the minutiae, but let's say they only sell 500 LEs, only make the sales on 500 LEs, and then 2 years later I say I want to buy an LE from the distributor. Will they make another one and then it'll be 501, or will they just not make any more? And now, you know, even though they said that they're going to make up to 1,000, they're really not going to.
Yeah. Well, what they're not going to do is make a bunch of games that have to sit in inventory at the factory. The sales are what's going to guide them. You know, if they get distributors saying, I'm sold out of stock, I want another 25, you know, somebody else's, I want 15, you know, and they're like, okay, we got sales for a couple hundred, that now we can do a run. You know, so, but, you know, 3 years down the road, are they going to say, hey, you know, we're doing another run of LEs because we only made so many? I don't know if they would do that.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm curious about. Yeah.
That's what we're going to miss. All right. So the additions of this game are a little different. You know, I don't think the demand is going to be split evenly against pro premium LE. I think the pro is a safe bet. You're going to get a lot of the same toys. You're going to miss a drop target. The car's not going to do as much fun things, but it's still pretty fun. And then the LE is just absolutely loaded with the best art, the leaded back glass, the expression lights that probably won't come out for 12 to 18 months are already included in them. So I think, like, the premium is sitting there as kind of a sucker's bet. You know, you're going to pay $3,000 more to get a little more movement on the car, a drop target, which admittedly looks fun, the Altoids tin that opens and closes, but you're not going to get the fancy lights. You're going to get the worst looking art of the three of them, you know, and it's going to be a year to a year and a half until you could pay $700 for the lighting kit, you know, when it comes out, to then be able to make an LE out of it. So I kind of see this bimodal distribution here forming, where, like, the pro is probably the one most people are going to get, and the folks that want some of those premium aspects, it's easier to upsell to the LE for this one.
The pro,
as easy as paying $13,000, is, you know.
The pro looks like the winner for me, I think. It looks like you can, if you got the Mac, you could probably put that drop target in.
Yeah, it looks like it's cut. The play fields are probably all the same. Even the pro Foo Fighters had a spot for the dead post.
And you got the expression lighting on the pro as well. I don't see that much of a downside. I think probably...
Or jerk the lighting out of a Led Zeppelin and throw it in there.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, here's what you do. You get the pro, and then you pull a Dawn, and you upgrade it to all the cool things on the premium LE that you like, including that backlash, Dawn. You're going to have to 3D print the hell out of that backlash, buddy. Like, that's going to be a tough 3D print. But, no, that the backlash on the LE is incredible. If you could just get the backlash on the LE, and you could bastardize it and mix it with some of the cool stuff, you know, obviously the car moving more is great. But, no, I think you're right. In all honesty, I think the pro is going to be the way to go, especially if you're, you know, location or something like that, because you're saving $6,000. Right now, pros are holding their value far better than any of the others, the Premier or the LE currently. And at the same time, honestly, there's no really, really cool mech, like, you know, like the building going down in Godzilla. You need the premium, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Even Foo Fighters, the big giant alien that fights you and moves around, like, you know, you kind of need the premium on that type of stuff. But I think you're right. Well, John Wick, let's just get professional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This might be more akin to a Black Knight Sword of Rage situation where the pro is just because of the gameplay, the one you want to get.
Yeah.
Unless you're really just going to go for it and get the LE. Now, you could get a copy of that Translite of the LE. You could 3D print the gold leading to stick on it. But honestly, if you're going to start printing Translites, there's great alternative Translites already on eBay and everywhere of like the John Wick logo surrounded by the weapons. That would probably be where I would go with
you
it.
You want to get that alternate Flintstones Translite and stick it on the John Wick.
That's the greatest alternative Translite of all time.
Yeah, but
we'll fill Orby in later. So where do I put the chicken bucket in this game, though, is what I'm wondering.
You put it on top of that pop bumper.
Those balls will get so bored and hungry up there just bouncing around forever with no flippers to be flopped. They'll get hungry.
All right, so John Wick, to be seen how sales go and how the code develops and everything, but I'm excited. It did play well. Another game that supposedly plays well and people enjoy is Funhouse, the newest remake, coming out of Pedretti, their first solo build, right? These are the folks that have been building games for Pinball Brothers, so they're not new to construction. They're a construction house. They went ahead and grabbed from the grab bag from Planetary Pinball of licenses that were available, and now we've got Rudy's Funhouse in two versions, one of which has art that absolutely slaps.
There's only one version that's worth getting in this game. That's the bottom line. It's if you're not getting that Brian Allen art, you've wasted your money.
You're not wrong. I love that take. There was a little bit of controversy for this one, too. There's actually a small LCD screen on the playfield replacing, I think, a flat plastic and incandescent lights.
Yeah, that's the same lighting one from the 2.0 kit, I think.
Yeah, okay, so that's probably why they put that in there. So it's $2,500 more for the limited. It's $99.99, so not terrible in today's market. If you like this gameplay, if you don't think Rudy is too creepy to drag into your home... Yeah, if I was interested in this, which I'm not, that's the version I would get.
Yeah,
yeah, I think you guys are right, because if not, you know, I don't know if where the market is right now, but you used to be able to find a decent used Funhouse for like $3,500 American, $4,500 Canadian. So if you could find a really good, decent Funhouse for, say, $3,500-$4,000, why would you go spend, $8,000+ on getting basically the same pin with the same art? Yes, I get their newer flippers and stuff, but like, to me personally, is it worth paying twice as much for to get it? I know at the peak, a good Funhouse was going for $5,000 or $6,000, but at this point you should, the prices are kind of been coming down for some time. So yeah, if you're not going to go get the Brian Allen artwork, and I think a lot of us in pinball have been clamoring and waiting for us to see Brian Allen do some, he does a lot of work in the one of my other hobbies, frisbee golf, or frolf as we call it, right?
Yeah.
he does a lot of that. He does a lot of that awesome artwork. He does a lot of great posters, concerts, events, and I'm just so glad to see it. I couldn't stop staring at that artwork. Like for $2,000 more, you get the artwork, but there's a whole bunch of other things they add in. I think you either spend the $10,000 and you get the good Brian Allen version with all the extras, or you just buy yourself a used one and forget about it.
But the other thing, you've got these games coming out, like we just talked about the code in John Wick. The reason why I got rid of Twilight Zone was because the code was not deep enough. I'm buying a game to put in my house. I want something that's going to keep me busy for months and months and months, before I can get to the end of it. I'm not buying 90s games anymore. People aren't buying 90s games because the code isn't there. Unless it's a theme or nostalgia that really, really hits them. I don't know why people would buy this game.
I love that you're saying that, because just this week I bought two 90s games.
Well, yeah, there's that. But, you know what? You're going to love them until you get through that code, and then you're going to be like, okay, I've seen it.
Yeah, but if you have a big collection of 15 pins like Don, you can just have your two older ones you go back and play a couple times a month and slowly learn that code, right? If you only have four or five pins, it's really hard to have a lot of solid states or EMs, because you will get sick of it so fast.
For sure.
And honestly, I just bought Tales from the Crypt and a Wipeout. And the Tales from the Crypt I bought just so I could have a game to take on the road with me for work, Like some people take their PlayStation or Nintendo Switch with them. I want to throw a game in the back that's my road game, Smash the Crypt. Hell of a game. Got it from Mad Pinball, my distributor of choice. And then it's already promised to a friend of mine that really wants to put it right next to his... not Lethal Weapon. Arnold Schwarzenegger jumps in the movie.
Last Action Hero.
Last Action Hero. Yeah, like it's sister game. So
So that'll work. And then Wipeout was a complete surprise. I just happened to cross it, and it had been in a basement for about 10 years. And you know, I offered a price, and they took it. So I grabbed it. So now I'm shredding the crud on Wipeout.
Shredding some sweet knot.
Yeah, I'm gleaming the cube over here. All right, what else we got? Alien Toppers are shipping for those of you that, you know, the 10 of you that purchased an alien game.
I'm not a topper king over here, but.
Yeah, I love that they call it the Queen Topper because they've also released the Queen game, which doesn't have a topper, but this is the Alien Queen Topper for Alien,
that was
but not the Queen
me,
Topper
hey,
for that
yeah.
game. Yeah, and this one's designed by Art of Pinball, Lior, right? The guy that makes these really cool, sculpted, high-end, exclusive mods. And he's just gone MIA. No one's really sure what's going on with Lior. We hope he's doing all right. His Facebook page was kind of locked down, so something's happened. Hopefully he turns back up because his sculpted stuff is cool. He was supposed to be working on a Big Lebowski topper, and then we've heard nothing about that. The last time I heard from him, this was like 8-10 months ago, and I'm like, hey, you know, Electric Pinball is coming out with their Lebowski topper. I heard you're working on one, and he just said soon, and like that's the last I heard from him. So hopefully he's out there getting anything sorted. It'll see the light of day because, you know, his resin sculpts are impressive, whether or not you want to, you know, lay down the money to afford them. They're pretty good.
It's cool to see someone actually doing the sculpts rather than just 3D printing. Like, you can get some beautiful 3D printed stuff, but those sculpts do take it to another level. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. You're paying for the artistry of, you know, carving this thing and then, you know, making silicone molds and then resin casts from it and then hand painting them, you know.
Yeah.
So I've heard of Lior before and the Art of Pinball, but is this man sitting on like, and I don't know, hopefully let's, fingers crossed, it's nothing nefarious, but is this man sitting on like tens of thousands of dollars of like pinball topper money without having like delivered any of them yet? Like, would there be any financial benefit to him disappearing like this? Or do we literally just think like, hopefully nothing's wrong with his health or anything, right? But I mean, Could it be that he just has decided to up and go and take people's money, or is he not sitting on millions of dollars of people's pinball money?
Now, does that sound like something that somebody partnered with Dutch Pinball would ever consider doing?
Let's not answer that.
He came out with a sculpted toilet mod for Big Lebowski. So all I know is he had officially partnered with Dutch Pinball and then apparently Pinball Brothers as well. And then, you know, any monies would have been funded through that company, not to him directly. So,
okay.
My hope is that they'd be protected. And I know that in the case of the Alien Queen Topper, not for Queen, but for Alien, you know, it was finished. It was sculpted. It just wasn't in production yet. So, you know, supposedly they have a way to get the molds or cast or produce them. And they're now shipping. So that's working out. But yeah, I haven't heard, I don't know how many of these sold. I don't know if Queen was like a huge seller, although it was probably Pinball Brothers' best game. Well, we've seen ABBA. It's going to be their best-selling game ever.
You're talking about Alien?
Yeah.
You said Queen.
Oh, see, I'm getting confused
the Queen
here.
Topper,
no, definitely Alien. Definitely Alien. Yeah.
And ABBA has Dancing Queen, so we have to have a Dancing Queen topper, a Queen topper, and an Alien Queen topper just to keep it all together. Then we got three Queens. We're two away from a full house. And then that's Pinball Brothers. Brothers, two. There's our pair, full house.
There you go.
You got there.
This is why you come here for the expert analysis.
You came for the pinball and you got the poker reference.
All right. What else do you guys got? What's going on?
I honestly heard that Lior, I thought he had made these like $3,000 or $4,000, like $2,000 or $3,000 gold toppers that had real gold leaf in them or something for some pinball machine that came out last year. I thought that was the last thing I heard last year, that like hundreds of people were waiting for these like multiple thousand. That's why I was thinking like, hopefully nothing nefarious happened, hoping whatever,
oh my God, yeah,
expensive toppers people are waiting on, hopefully they've got them, and even more importantly, hopefully he's fine if he lives in a war-torn area or something like that. Like, that's obviously the most important part, but yeah, that's all.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
Say
he lives in this little country I hadn't really heard anything about. Israel, I think it's called.
Oh, well, yeah.
I don't know if there's any other. If there's there's never any news coverage or
it's
anything.
Pretty
from
chill
that part
area.
Of the world.
We don't talk about politics here, but I mean, come on.
Yeah.
So Israel is beyond politics. For sure. All right, man. That's pinball as I see it for now. You know, what do you guys? Do you have some shorts on there, Ryan? I like those legs, man.
Yeah, man. You want to see a bit more? You got to pay extra.
I mean,
you got to sign up to the OnlyFans for the
Don
the rest.
Likes short shorts.
Yeah, I got the jort shorts on. Yeah. Whoa, guys, we can all compare our hairy legs.
Hey, these aren't short. They just look short the way they're riding up here.
That's because you're a long-legged Larry, so I get it.
Right. Hey, well, this is so fun. Now, the only... I don't want to be the elephant in the room here, Don, but
yeah.
I might be outvoted because Don and Ryan kind of want to call our new thruple, our new threesome podcast, they kind of want to call it something about the International Man of Mystery or something like that. It sounds fine, the syndicate of the International Men of Mystery... of the tiny pinballs or something. It sounds fine. It's just a mouthful. It's like it doesn't roll out of your mouth like molasses. You know what I mean? So I was thinking, and y'all can do it. Don's going to put up a poll for us. It can either be the International Men of Mystery Syndicate Pinball Podcast Channel, or it could be just something simple like Triple Vuck, which I think, I mean, come on. What is a Vuck, really? It's a vertical up kicker. What are us three guys? We're positive. We're upbeat. We like to kick things up. Sure, yeah, maybe we'll say something we don't like about the pinball, what's happening. But for the most part, we like to throw things up. We like to be mostly positive, right? Also, there's three of us, hence the triple part. And then it really tells Triple Drain, our main competitors over there. It tells them, watch out, these guys are on the up and up. They're coming for you, Tom Talks. Watch out, we got Ryan over here. You're in trouble. What, Don's coming for you? Like, and then they're big. Well, Don, you're our live streamer, of course, and then Travis is like their big tournament player. So I guess I'll take the spot of Travis, even though those are some pretty big shoes to fill, getting a double zero on the Cats for Meow in the middle of a big tournament. I can't quite do that, but I don't know. I think Triple Vuck is really good. I like the Syndicate. I don't hate it. And I'm a very democratic person. If I'm outvoted 2-3, we'll go with the Syndicate because the name's not important. What's important is the content. Three of us pinball nerds all talking about what we love. Just to let all the listeners know, we're not going to be doing this weekly or even monthly, but more... Hopefully maybe monthly, but dependent upon when the pinball news comes out, that sort of thing. And hopefully everybody enjoyed it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, well, whenever I'm on work release or my day report, I will just throw it out there. I still like Vuck Boys. I think that works on a couple of levels.
That's also very funny.
Three balls, one bag. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I've got ideas. Those are the two best ones. The rest of them are just absolute garbage. But yeah, I think a poll makes sense. Let the people decide.
Okay, well,
we'll have the ultimate say.
What Facebook page is it going on?
It's going. We can all, go on all of them share it, I guess.
The wonderful person hosting us.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, I'll put it out. I've got a reach of 1,200 people. I think that's reasonable. Yeah. And then I'll put it out on the channels and things, and then I'll ask the Patreon folks from the Don's Pinball Podcast page, of which I think most of you guys are members or former members. But yeah, I think it'll be fun. So, yeah, let's just do shout-outs. Let's meet back on the socials, and then we can reconvene here in, three fortnights hence and see where we're at.
Sounds good.
I love it. My only request is the next time we have at least a couple beers. Or ciders, Don, or ciders.
Reasonable.
Just a couple.
I like it.
That way we'll just, loosen up maybe a little bit more. You don't want to say anything too controversial. I don't want to pull a Kerry Hardy here, okay? I want to try to stay, I like to fly under the radar, but I mean, that would be great. Yeah, maybe a couple beers, and I'll just give the first shout out. I'd like to tell everybody, go listen to a little bit of the Pinball Nerds podcast over there on the Poor Men's Pinball Network. You'll know it's my show because it'll be entitled PNP, and then it will have an episode. I think I'm up to 567 right now. I'm doing better with not going off topic, but sometimes I go off topic. I used to call it a pinball vlog. It's still very vloggy. There's lots of vlogging to happen. But if you're not into the vlogging part of it, you can go listen to Don because he doesn't do as much vlogging. And Ryan and Kimba over there at Phantom Tilt, they tell a little bit about their pinball stories. But for the most part, they stay on track. So, everybody can go check them out there as well. So
we like your brand, dude. We like your brand. Ryan, plug very your much. Show.
Yeah, you can check us out at Phantom Tilt Pinball on all of the social medias. I've sort of crumbled to the Democratic Chinese Republic, and I've signed up to the TikToks, so you can check us out on there as well, and
comrade, and
probably catch all our data flying around Hong Kong.
<Uh-oh>.
For sure, man.
But yeah, right, check us out on all of those the social medias at Phantom Tilt Pinball.
Where do we go to see that leg footage?
That's OnlyFans/Phantom Tilt.
Yeah, and you're always trending on there. You always pop up when I sign in, so that's not hard to find. I'm Don. I do Don's Pinball Podcast. Email me at donspinballpodcast@gmail.com or the Facebook page or the Patreon or the TikTok or the YouTube page where I'm live streaming. There's some, for now, one of only two John Wick personal live streams on the internet. There'll be 20 tomorrow, but that's up there. Fox City's put theirs up. I haven't watched it yet, but we'll go check that out too. And yeah, let's reconvene and do this some more. That was fun.
Sounds good, guys.
That was awesome. Thanks, guys. I enjoyed it.
All right. Thank you. Triple Buck Boys out.
Well, hey, thank you so much for joining us for that special episode. Be sure to send us an email over at donspinballpodcast@gmail.com. Let me know what you think. What suggestions do you have? And then we'll catch you on the next time. And I can't wait to do this again. Thanks so much. Heck yeah, Bad Company.